what goes up must come down. Welcome to The Brand Breakdown. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Courtney.
And this is where we're going to track the rise and fall of big brands, from companies to celebs to pop culture phenoms and everything in between. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. Happy Friday and welcome back to a new episode of The Brand Breakdown. I'm Michelle, here with my friend Courtney. Hi, Courtney.
Hey.
And we're going to be doing the Royal Weekly Wrap-Up today. And the Royals are on vacation in August, so it's not a whole lot for you, but just enough to give you a little bit of something going into the weekend. So, Courtney, I want to start with the Olympics because I'm so Olympic obsessed.
I am too.
So tell us a little. I know. Oh my God. And Simone Biles yesterday was like killing it. It was so amazing. And then she had that awesome bedazzled goat necklace. Do you think that thing was Swarovski or do you think it was diamonds? Did they say?
I don't know. I was like, so I saw like pictures of it, but I didn't read any articles. So I wasn't sure, like, if her husband got it for her, I bet it's diamonds. If she like grabbed it herself in the Olympic Village or a fan gave it to her or something, then I bet it's just like Swarovski or something.
I think she bought it for herself. Didn't she say that? And that she wasn't going to wear it unless she won.
Let's see.
I think she bought it for herself.
Well, then I bet that would also be real diamonds then.
Maybe.
But it's she's so got pretty. The funds for that. Let's see. See if this article says.
I'm not the goat of anything. What am I the goat of? Nothing.
Content?
Zero. I got nothing. I am not the
goat. Branding?
I am not the goat of content. Nope, not the goat of that either. I would say that other people like Seth Godin would be the goat of like branding and marketing. He's pretty amazing. And for content,
yeah,
I think
that's fair.
Like anybody with half a brain cell can write content. I mean, I hate to say that, but I've been doing it for 30 years, so I think I'm an expert in that. So you let me know when you find that. But first, tell us a little bit about the Royals at the Olympics. I haven't seen any Royals at the Olympics, but you said you have. So I want to hear about your sightings.
So first of all, that makes it sound like I'm at the Olympics, which I'm not that cool. But we have.
I wish I were that cool. Isn't it expensive?
No. Okay. So a few months ago, they had like packages where you could buy like a hotel package that had like tickets to different events. And like you basically picked your package based on what events you wanted to see. And I think some of the packages even like included airfare, and they weren't nearly as expensive as I thought they were. Like when I clicked on the link, I was like, oh, ha ha ha, this is going to be ridiculous. And I actually was like, oh my God, I could probably go to the Olympics. It was not as crazy as I thought it was going to be. As a guest. Yeah. Oh my God.
As a guest.
So cute though. I was talking to Connor earlier because I get very, this happens like every Olympic cycle, but then also like world championships for like swimming and track. I get very like inspired. And so I'm sitting, you know, I'm like looking up like pools in the area that have like open lap time. And during Olympic trials for track, I was looking up like masters teams. And I was like, am I old enough to run on a masters team yet? Like, maybe I should register for some races. Like, I was like, let me get back into it. And so I was talking to Connor today, who is adorable and only 6 years old. And he was like, we were watching track on the TV and he's like, Mom, did you used to go to the Olympics? And I was like, oh my God, no. And he's like, but you said you were really, really fast when you were younger. And I was like, no, yeah, I was, but like nowhere near as fast as these people. And he's like, I bet if you practiced a little, you could go to the Olympics next time. And I was like, kid, you are so sweet. No, but thank you so much for the vote of confidence. And then he told me that tomorrow we're going to do a workout. He's like, I think if we have gym class outside, you could do it. And I was like, okay, you can put me through a workout tomorrow.
That is really cute. He's so
the confidence,
cute.
Like the confidence he has in me is just adorable.
I know. I love that. Kids love you until they're teenagers.
Hope they love me forever.
Well, they don't love you as much when they're teenagers and they think you're stupid, but it comes back around. I think from what I heard, when they're in their 20s and they realize that you're not nearly as stupid as they thought you were.
I do remember that turning point with my parents being like, oh, No, they are really smart, actually. They were right about everything.
Yeah. I said a lot of I'm sorry's to my mom, for sure. Mm, same. And I'm really highly anticipating them from my children. But anyway, well, so anyway, back to the Olympics.
Back to the Olympics.
Back to the Olympics. Tell me about the royals at the Olympics.
So the British royal family, so far that we've seen, hasn't sent anyone to spectate, which is interesting to me because I was thinking we'd at least see, you know, Zara, because she was on the Olympic equestrian team in 2012. She won a silver medal, but she did not make the team this year. So I was expecting like we would see her, we would see Mike, you know, he's a rugby player. We would maybe see Peter because he just tends to go. I thought we'd see the Yorks because they tend to be out and about at sporting events all over Europe in the summer, but we haven't. However, Princess Anne is a member of the IOC and she is she's Great Britain's, she's like the patron of the Olympics or something like that. And she's also patron of like the equestrian teams. So she is at the Olympics in her official capacity as a member of the IOC. She is a former Olympian in her own right. And I believe she has an Olympic medal as well. Actually, I'm not sure if she ever got a medal, but I know she's competed in the Olympics for equestrian. So she was handing out medals on like the first day of equestrian stuff. So that was fun. And then the other European royals have sent a slew of royals to the Olympics. Before the opening ceremonies, I think it was the day before the opening ceremony, there was a VIP dinner for like heads of state, politicians, the IOC committee, or obviously IOC is committee. So there was this huge dinner. And so the King and Queen of Spain were there. The King of the Netherlands was there. I believe the Infantas are there too from Spain. The Belgium royal family was there. Like there was a lot of royals in attendance at the dinner. And then they've been kind of sprinkled throughout the events, cheering on their countrymen as they compete. But the Brits, so far, I've only seen Princess Anne, which I was very surprised by. And then, of course, we also saw Prince Albert and Princess Charlene of Monaco, who are not only the reigning sovereigns of Monaco, but they are both former Olympians. So I think it's like extra fun to see them at the Olympics because they know it from the side of being an Olympian and being a spectator. And so they've been out cheering for Monaco. And then also I imagine Charlene is cheering on South Africa a little bit. So yeah, it's been fun to see the European royals out and about. Bummer that the UK hasn't sent anyone across the channel to take on some spectating, but we still have another week. So who knows, maybe we'll see people.
Yeah. I think that, they've had a lot going on, so it doesn't surprise me that, you know, they haven't sent anybody. But it is sad because they sent people to Wimbledon.
Yeah. I mean, I was just like, I wasn't even thinking like in an official capacity. I mean, when the Olympics were in London in 2012, that was crazy. Like every single extended member of the royal family, like they had people at every single event. They really got to work. I was just thinking we might see like, you know, the Yorks take in a tennis match or something, like not in any sort of official capacity, just, you know, they bought some tickets or were gifted some tickets and they went to see, we haven't seen anybody. Even at that heads of state dinner, nobody was there.
Well, maybe they just said, you know what? We need a break.
Yeah.
That's okay. Maybe they're off in the countryside, you know, playing with dogs and breathing the fresh air.
They're headed up to Balmoral soon. That's so they're probably already there. So they're living their best Scottish Highlands life.
Let's move from Paris to Montecito because you shared with me something about our friends in California going to, Colombia?
Colombia. It is, yeah.
Colombia, South America, to go hang out and pretend like they're on official royal business.
Yeah. So Harry and Meghan are back on like faux royal duty. And it's very weird because I've seen a couple articles saying like, you know, the Sussexes are going on a royal tour, which is incredibly misleading. But they have been invited by the vice president of Colombia to, and I guess, I think it's she, Francia Marquez. So she, I believe, is also the Minister of Equality and Equity. She has invited the Sussexes to Colombia and they have accepted her invitation. And it says that during the trip, they will be visiting Bogota as well as the Caribbean and Pacific regions. And they will have the exceptional opportunity to engage with leaders, youth, and women who embody the aspiration and voices of Colombians committed to progress. There is also there's a big conference, a global conference, the Global Ministerial Conference of Ending Violence Against Children being held in Colombia in November. And Archwell is one of the things that they are really kind of getting involved with. And Harry and Meghan recently did an interview about this, is creating a safer online environment for everybody, but particularly children, to help, you know, stop online bullying and cyber threats and all of that against children. So their visit to Colombia coincides with the Conference of Ending Violence Against Children. And I guess that's kind of the tie-in of like why they're going to be in Colombia. I don't believe they're going to that conference. I think it kind of is just tying into the larger theme of safer online environments.
So let me ask you a question. Bringing awareness to cyberbullying and stuff, I think is great. But my question is, A, what are they actually doing with the awareness? And B, what are their credentials, or do they have a team? And C, I thought Archwell was like not doing well.
I think so. Archwell, the foundation, is still existing and still doing work. But yeah, in their like their annual reports, I think like one year they raised like $11 million or $12 million, but like 10 million of those was directly from Harry and Meghan, and specifically Harry. So I don't think they're raising a lot of funds, but whatever, gotta have a tax shelter or something, I guess. And I don't necessarily know that Harry and Meghan have any credentials for this like online safer environment thing. I think that what they position as their credentials is that they've been victims of like online bullying because of the tabloid focus on them. And so they take that victimhood, as they literally always do, and they try to spin it as like, we know better, we know best, and everybody should listen to us and what we have to say in this matter. I haven't seen anything that says that Archwell has any sort of like committee or coalition or any like team of experts necessarily who are guiding Harry and Meghan in their fight for a better online environment. I think Harry and Meghan just keep lending their names and faces to other initiatives that are promoting the same agenda, if that makes sense.
It does. I mean, I'm not opposed to them doing it at all. I just hope that they use what position they have to actually make a difference, because everybody is aware of it. Everyone knows it goes on. How do you stop it? How do you, you know, just coaching and, you know, talking to, if it's, you know, a teen situation, talking to teens, that doesn't actually seem to be working well. I don't know. I just still think there's so much of it that goes on. I see it with my own teens all the time and their friends and whatever. I mean, it's for real. It goes on all the time.
Yeah. And I think that like the idea and the mission of a safer online environment for kids obviously like makes a ton of sense. Totally 1,000% support it. I think Harry and Meghan, when they are the figureheads and have been rumored to be directly involved with a group of people online who constantly bully and spread rumors about Harry and Meghan's own family. I think then it gets a little bit like pot calling the kettle black situation, because there have been like, so there are people that they are involved with, people that they work with, and that they're like kind of publicly associated with, people who have appeared in their Netflix documentary, for example, or their docuseries, who publicly have like, they host chat rooms and meetups and whatever to talk about like their strategy for taking down the royals, or like, it's like very weird. It's like very, very weird. And it's just one of those things where like Meghan and Harry haven't distanced themselves from people who are bullying people online, but they're publicly saying like, oh, we're going to like fight for a better tomorrow in the online space. And then their fans and people that they are connected to are some of the ones who are like actively doing it the most, obviously not the most and not to everyone and not to the general public, but within this little small sphere of like royal watching. And it's just very hypocritical of them, as most things tend to be.
Okay. So continuing in that vein, let's talk a little bit about the tense moment that people are reporting between them when they were talking about, I think, this initiative, correct?
Yeah. So they did an interview on, I think it was on CBS, and it was their first joint interview since Oprah. And it's funny, it's being billed as like the first time they're speaking out.
This with Jane Pauley.
Yeah. And like, it's being billed as like the first time they're speaking out. And it's like, well, they did a book and a TV show and a million other interviews. So like, yes, this is their first joint interview since Oprah. And there's a part of it where they're asked a question. Meghan is speaking. She's asked a question. And then Harry kind of like jumps in a little bit to expand on what Jane Pauley had said. And Meghan turns and looks at him and kind of like nods and is smiling like, yes, I agree. You know, it seems that she's like, oh, yeah, good point. But you can kind of see like her jaw is very tense. She's like blinking her eyes really fast. Like she looks like she's trying to hold in being flustered or frustrated or something. And people are saying like it's an indication that, you know, she's very tense and she was like mad at him in that moment for going off script a little bit or whatever. And we've seen those types of like tense moments and looks between them a few times, like when they went on their royal tours, their actual royal tours. There was like a few moments back then when, you know, Harry would be walking in front of Meghan because that is like royal protocol that he would walk in front of her. And she would look extremely irritated by that. And like, she would clench her jaw. She would make the same kind of like facial expression. But, like, it's hard to say, like, was it her actively being like, was it really a tense moment during the interview? Was she like actually angry with him, or was it just that that's her normal posture and behavior, or so, you know, like it's, we don't know her outside of anything we see in the tabloids or on camera. Like, we don't know how she is as a person. Like, maybe she always does that and that it means nothing and it's not a thing at all. But when you see it in that moment, it was like, ooh, she looks a little bit irritated there. But hard to say if it means anything.
Yeah, I mean, I get irritated all the time. I read that she's so media savvy and knows just what to say in every kind of occurrence, and that he's really off the cuff and difficult to control. And so that makes it tense between them because she knows what needs to be said and he tends to just go off script. So I wonder if there's any truth to that. I have no idea. I just know that I watched the video and I was like, oh, she seems super irritated with him. But listen, I get super irritated all the time. So, I mean, wait till they, right? I mean, just in general, not my husband necessarily, just in general. I get irritated, you know, when the wind blows in the wrong direction. So there we are. anyway, so everyone's at Balmoral right now doing summer break. Is that right?
Yeah. They are, I don't know if they're all there yet, but in August, the royal family kind of takes the British royal family takes the month of August off. Actually, I think most of Europe takes like August off. Like it's very common in Europe for companies have to provide way more PTO than we get in the United States. Like having like 6 or 8 weeks of PTO is like very common. And a lot of companies are on like a partial shutdown in August. And people are just off living their best European life. So the royals follow suit and they go up to Balmoral in Scotland. And they actually, usually once a summer, there's like a walk to church. We get to see everybody, whatever. But the king is there for pretty much the whole month. And then members of the family are kind of like in and out. The Wales is, I believe, have a house on the estate. There's like a few houses on the Balmoral estate. I guess Balmoral itself is actually pretty small by like royal residence standards, not small by like normal people standards, but apparently it has been reported that it's like pretty small and uncomfortable. And so there's other houses on the estate where like the Waleses will have their own house. When the Yorks go up, they have their own house, whatever. So people are in and out throughout the whole month. And Zara and Mike were, I believe the big walk weekend was supposed to be, I think the weekend of the 16th. So Friday the 16th, 17th and 18th was one of the weekends where they were expecting most of the family to be there all at one time. But Zara has an equestrian competition that weekend. She's been entered into some thing. So they may be, it's the article I read said like the king was keen to have everybody together and he knows that the Tyndalls and the Waleses and their kids are extremely close. And so he's trying to arrange for everybody to come, I think the weekend before, the weekend of the 9th, 10th, and 11th. Because like the royals, they're just like us. They like to spend time together as a family and that probably looks a lot different than it does for like normal people. Like, you know, if I go to my grandparents' house for the day, like it's probably very different than going to a palace. But Balmoral's where they get to be like the most normal, quote unquote. And so like they really do try to like go up there and spend time together as a family and like not be having like work meetings and stuff like that. Like just spending family time. So they're trying to arrange it around Zara's schedule.
You want to know what the best thing about Balmoral is right now?
What?
It's 50s and 60s with rain every other day.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
I know, melting. Right? Right, right. It's like in between like 59 and 63 every day for the next week with a chance of precipitation at least 3 out of the 5 days, which sounds fantastic to me.
Mm-hmm, me because too. It's 90 degrees and 1,000% humidity here right now.
Yeah, the feels like here today is like 106 or 107, and oh my it is gosh. Bloody hot. Yeah, I know it's hot. And I keep wondering, like, man, I'm so tired. Am I so tired because I'm getting a cold, or am I so tired because it's so bloody hot outside?
Yeah.
I think it's
– the weather is just pulling it out of you.
I think so. I don't do – I'm English as they come. I do not do well in really hot weather, which – you know, makes you question, why did you go to the Caribbean last week?
Yeah.
But,
sure does. Why do you live down south?
I know. It was so hot in the Caribbean. Just P.S. Like hot. Like
I'm going to have a hard time being too sympathetic about that, though. So
It was really beautiful, though. Really, really beautiful. And the people were so nice. But anyway, and I took some Spanish lessons and I'm pretty sure I'm fluent now. So there's that.
Of course. Yeah. 4 days, yeah. 4 days in the Caribbean. Of course you would be fluent.
It was 6 days. Don't exaggerate.
Was it really? It was
so many. Yeah.
Thursday, yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Oh yeah. I guess it was.
Yeah. It's six.
All right. Well then you should be teaching Spanish lessons at this point.
That's right. I was pretty good at it. and no one laughed at me at all. No one. Save everyone that I've came in contact with. But anyway, it was really fun. So that's, I think that's all the royal news we have, right? Like we're sort of slow this week because everybody's whooping it up in Balmoral and places like that.
Yeah, there's just not really, I'm literally scrolling through our text messages because we send those articles back and forth and that's how I keep track of what I want to talk to you about. and I literally, yeah, I don't, oh, yeah. Oh, there was one other thing, one more thing. It has been announced that Invictus in 2025, I believe, or 2027 will be in the UK. So Harry will probably be having to, depending on how involved he stays with Invictus, we may see him ramping up visits to the UK a little bit as planning for that gets underway. And also there's the potential that with Invictus being in his home country and his family being there, the royals will have to figure out how they want to handle attending Invictus because it's not just about like, oh, this is Harry's thing and he's being a jerk. Invictus is all about the armed forces and the royal family not showing up to support veterans, and that like that, that would not be a good look. So
I think they'll definitely show up.
Yeah. And like you said yesterday in text, like it's 3 years from now, a lot could change. If it was tomorrow, I do still think they would show up. They may not, you know, be all chummy with Harry and Meghan, but I think that they would definitely make an appearance at events. They would do their own engagements, meeting the veterans and stuff like that. In 3 years, who knows? Maybe everything is water under the bridge and they're back to being a family and they'll be all over the place hanging out together.
3 years, we could all just be crazy cat ladies running around. That's what it could be.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, I think a lot can happen in 3 years. I really think a lot could happen in 3 years. So I would love to see world peace in 3 years. Maybe that could happen. I'd like to be in Olympic shape in 3 years. I would like for my kids to either one be out of college and one be in college in 3 years. Like there's so much that can happen in 3 years, you know?
Yeah.
So, you could be trying out for the Masters.
Yeah. As far as my son's concerned, I'll be prepping for the next Olympics in 3 years.
Right.
So everybody get ready to cheer me on. 2028. Here I come.
Oh my God. Do you know how excited I would be? Like I would totally come watch you. I want that for you. Let's make that happen.
Can you imagine somebody, imagine I've taken 20 years off of sports and being anywhere near in shape. And then I make the Olympics, which by the way, I was never good enough to even come anywhere close to that being a factor. But imagine like the endorsement deal somebody would get being like the underdog story of 20 years away from sports and then making the Olympics. The endorsement deal, the Visa commercials they would make for me would just be incredible.
Can you imagine the mugs and all the merch that you could sell? That would be amazing. Well, I think that's it, my friend. And I know that we are getting ready to do a particular pop star who might or might not have been pulled over for DWI in Sag Harbor a couple months ago in the middle of his world tour.
This is going to ruin the world tour.
I don't think it is. He appeared virtually today. So I don't even think he's going to be in real court when he comes. He's still going to be out there singing.
No, did you not hear? Okay. That's what he said to the cop when he got pulled over. And the cop didn't know who he was. Because the cop is like a Gen Zer. So he like didn't even know who Justin Timberlake is. And Justin Timberlake's like, this is going to ruin the world tour. And the cop's like, what are you talking about? How drunk are you?
Oh, that's hilarious. You know, I love it when stars like pull that crap when they're like, don't you know who I am? Blah, blah, blah. that happens a lot. And then inevitably the cop is like, no, and I don't care. All right. Anyway, so look for that hopefully soon, the next couple of weeks, and we'll be following that story. Otherwise, you guys have a great weekend, and thanks for tuning in.